Blowing teams out is fun.
Well, but Ingram just once he made like three, you're like, oh shit, he's just gonna keep going, and it just keeps going, and like the crowd reactions just got better and better and better, you know, for each one that he made, it was great.
With five possessions in a row, right, in the third quarter.
Yeah.
But that's the Pels, though, isn't it? They blow out the bad teams and get beat by the good teams.
Okay, let's start the show, Jeff.
Hey, it's like showdown.
Talking about mediocre basketball.
We haven't even gone on our run yet.
Your run of what you've had, you've been healthy all year and your team's not good.
Oh, not good. Okay.
You act like you don't watch the games. I get it. You like the team, but this is, I mean, how can you admit that the Saints are bad when you watch them be 500, but you watch the Pelicans and you still think they might like compete or win a playoff series?
They're 8 games over .500. There's a chance. Are they contender? Probably not. They're not a
Probably
contender.
not.
They're not a contender. But so
Okay.
what?
Okay.
They are a legitimate playoff team, which
They're
is much more
equal.
than I can say for the Saints.
They're equal to the Saints. They're going to be right on the
They're
verge of
not
maybe
equal to
make
the
it
fucking Saints. Oh my God. They're
a
not equal
lot
to the
more NBA
Saints.
teams make the playoffs. If that was the same criteria, they would be out. Same as the Saints. They'd be right above 500.
No, they'd
No,
actually they
technically though, they're winning their division, so they would be the three
they'd
seed
be in,
if we're going to
right?
go with the NFL route,
They
right?
would host a home playoff series. I mean, come on.
What's up, Who Dat Nation? And welcome to the Dome Patrol Podcast.
What's up, Who Dat Nation? Thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. This is the official Saints podcast of the Fans First Sports Network. I'm your host, Jeff, and this is week number three that the Saints have not hired an offensive coordinator. Although word has come out that we have made a decision on what we will be doing. So
hopefully he doesn't
I don't
back
know,
out.
Based on James and Wesley's eyes, you think a contract's been signed already?
It can't legally be signed. It can't be announced. It can't
Okay,
be signed, but there's a deal agreed to.
Factual.
There may be
well,
an agreement.
No one's ever backed out of deals.
Louisiana politics style. There's an under the table agreement.
So we have, is it Kyle Kubiak?
Samsonite.
Oh, we haven't met yet. My name's Clint. I don't care.
Right. So what do you think about this? I mean, we talked about it last week, and I know Wesley, I know you like it. James, we didn't get your thoughts on the matter.
I think hiring a offensive play caller from one of the best offenses in the NFL for the past 5 years is a really good idea.
I mean, the thing we don't know is if we know that Clint Kubiak has been associated with maybe the best offense in football last year as far as scheme and design, like not based on the best quarterback, but it is a confusing offense that makes the defense make decisions and then the offense goes the other way. What we don't know is if he can call plays and, you know, put this in himself. If he has, from his dad being a quarterback in the NFL and from doing all this, if he's picked up stuff and can call an offense, he's going to be able to design a good offense that confuses people.
He's got offense in his blood, so it has to work, right?
Right.
I'm excited. It's exciting, at least. I mean, there'll be a lot of questions. Like you said, this is first time being an offensive coordinator, first time being a play caller. Going to be the first different offense that the Saints have run in, God, how long? 18 years
18
now?
18 years, yeah.
So there's excitement there, at least. I'm just glad it's not an older guy like Gruden. Like, I like taking a chance on a younger guy who's got a lot to prove. He's gonna work his ass off, you would think. So we'll see if he can help the offense and help Derek Carr, because that's all the big question. Because now that we restructured Carr's deal, we're stuck with him for another 2 years. So we kind of need, I mean, if you want to see Derek Carr succeed, we need it to work. And
I'd rather see him succeed and actually win.
Every Saints fan should want to see him succeed.
Yes,
right?
Yes. I definitely want him to win. I still would rather not Dennis Allen not be our coach, but as a Saints fan, I want the Saints to win.
And therefore, Dennis Allen to be your coach.
I mean,
you heard it here, folks. Jason loves Dennis Allen. That's by the law of transitive properties.
Is that like 6 degrees of Dennis Allen?
You want the Saints to win, therefore you want Derek Carr to win, therefore you want Dennis Allen to stay.
How do I go from fuck Dennis Allen to I want the Saints to win and Dennis Allen to I want to the fuck Super Dennis Bowl? Allen?
just listen back to the last 3 minutes of the podcast and you'll see how.
Right.
The man or the popcorn bucket.
Oh, nice one.
So it's an intriguing, exciting hire. It gives us a little, like I said, excitement. It still doesn't change. I don't know. Again, hiring this guy seems to be a good move, but it doesn't really change the organizational philosophy. Are we going to still throw away draft picks and trade up and pull all the bullshit? That's probably still going to be there, but at least on the field.
Yeah.
On the field, it seems like it's a good decision. I'm happy with it.
Playbook. What about in the books? So I've read that obviously this means that we're going to be parting ways with the Sean Payton style offense and that we would be running a different offense. And granted, the Sean Payton style offense was the best offense the Saints organization has ever run. It served us the best it has been. Now, is that because it was a Sean Payton offense, or is that because it was a Drew Brees was the quarterback of that offense? And Bingo. It only works with that kind of a quarterback.
Bingo.
And that we need to tailor our offense to Derek Carr's.
Yeah, Can we tailor an offense to a guy who holds onto the ball and doesn't throw it on
very,
time?
Very tall receivers who have wide reach, right? Arm spans.
Wingspan?
Wingspan, that's the word. Well, they have arms, not wings, so.
Arm span.
I mean, the just the thing about the Sean Payton offensive scheme is that it's never worked successfully for any quarterback not named Drew Brees. There was a little bit of success when he was quarterback coach with Tony Romo, but that wasn't his offense. And before anybody says like Teddy Bridgewater went 5-0 with Sean Payton as his coach, but he wasn't running Sean Payton's offense. That was a very different offense that he ran for those games. And the Taysom Hill games, like, well, I guess actually he stupidly tried to run the Sean Payton offense with Taysom Hill instead of making a new one. And then we saw when he started Jameis a couple years ago before Jameis got hurt, like he wasn't letting Jameis, even though his incredible arm talent, wasn't letting him run a Sean Payton offense. So I mean, I'll keep bringing this up. There's a big, pretty big debate on who to give credit to. Mm-hmm. And we're gonna find out over these next few years with Sean Payton in Denver, when now he's going to get to pick his quarterback and he's going to get to design his offense around it. And let's see if I know he's got a good attention to detail. I know he can yell at people. I know he can hold them accountable. I know he can intimidate people. I know he can yell it and be snarky with the media, but can he design an offense and make another quarterback successful besides Drew Brees?
Right. It's not just designing an offense, about right. Like a good coach, whether it's the head coach or the OC, whoever's responsible for it, has to design something that appeals, that applies or applies the strengths of your quarterback, or is centered around what your quarterback is going to bring to the table. And now that we're locked in with Derek Carr for the next 2 years at minimum, then, and I saw who, I don't remember exactly who it was, maybe it was a former Saint, somebody from the organization, maybe it was Drew Brees, actually, that said something to the effect of, like, if Derek Carr is going to be there for the next couple of years and they're looking to select their coach, then Derek Carr should have a say in who they bring on or a say in what that offensive scheme is going to be.
Well, I agree that you design an offense around the strengths of your quarterback, but when the strengths of your quarterback is the most accurate passer in the history of the game, and he reads defenses at an elite level that very few people have seen, it kind of, you didn't really build the offense around those strengths. Like,
well, it's a cheat code.
Like, to me, so, that, like, I still don't know if Sean Payton built an offense around any of Drew Brees' strengths.
I didn't say that to argue that point. I said that to where I think the smart thing is, he had a cheat code.
We still don't know if he designed anything around Drew Brees'. Quote-unquote strengths.
Right. You've got Drew
the ball
Brees,
more accurate than everybody
Drew
in the
Brees,
planet.
You can design whatever fucking offense you want to think of. He's going to be able to run it. Yeah, you get the best that's ever played the game. So
Allegedly, that's ignorant.
The Tecmo Bowl offense would have worked with Drew. Four plays, that's all you got. Drew, make it work.
Right. Whereas now, what I'm saying is, as we move forward, Coach Kubiak is going to serve the best interest if he is actually not just coming in with, I'm going to force this offense on the team, but rather let's look at what Derek Carr does well and let's design an offense around those two things. So yelling at your receivers and fighting with your offensive linemen. How can you design an offense around that?
Yeah.
Well, I think your point is you've got to try, haven't you? Because you're tied in for 2 years. So you've got to.
We're locked. Yeah, we're committed.
To be fair, we called, at least in the red zone for the first half of the year, the passing plays we called are the hardest passing plays to compete with, the lowest completion percentage in the NFL. And on top of that, ones that Derek Carr has not thrown well. Like these back shoulder fade things that just he doesn't throw them well. And just, by the way, just they're the least completed pass in the NFL. So, I mean, just honestly, just doing something different than being innovative at all. But I mean, I think no matter what Kubiak is going to have, we're going to have a lot of pre-snap motion. We're going to do a lot of misdirection. I think that stuff can make Alvin Kamara look younger again. I think it can make Taysom Hill look incredible again. Like he's going to see somebody like Taysom Hill and go, oh, let's maybe give him the ball more than 10 times a game. Like I can't imagine he's going to just ever have a game where he touches the ball two or three times.
Unless he goes to Denver, which that's apparently some people are saying might happen.
I don't think it's possible with this contract.
There's going to be a lot of things that we won't be able to do due to contracts. That's kind of why we're in the position we're in.
All right. Speaking of Denver, Pete Carmichael, as predicted, is heading to Denver to reunite with Sean Payton. Dude, if that,
I actually said what he's going
FanDuel
to do.
Wouldn't
though.
Even put that. It doesn't matter. What is he like? Special offensive assistant or something?
Do they give out an award for a comeback coach of the year? Assistant coach of the year.
If there was a term like, you know, the backup quarterback holds the clipboard, what is a guy like Pete who's holding the backup to the coordinator to back up Peyton? Like, is there a term for a guy who's just there to basically hold the clipboard for Peyton, the play call board?
Let's be honest, he's the juicy fruit guy. I mean,
yeah, he is.
Pete exactly is the new juicy fruit guy.
He's the guy who makes sure there's 12 pins in that cup. He's the enforcer. I mean, how fucking predictable was that?
Yeah, I mean,
that was always going to happen.
Yeah,
right.
Like, hey, he gets paid to do nothing again. This is what he wanted.
What's funny is like again, like you go back to Sean Payton, and Sean Payton's entire strategy for Denver is to run it back to the Saints, and like, but what he's running back to is a Saints team that was underperforming, you know, because he doesn't have Drew Brees.
I mean, you're saying that, but Troutman, we talked about earlier, he had as many touchdowns as any tight end on our team.
Right? What the fuck was wrong with us then? Why couldn't he perform here? Even with Peyton. Had to be the quarterback. Moving on. Derek Carr responds to Michael Thomas's tweets earlier or late last week. Did y'all everybody get a chance to see or hear those comments?
Yeah.
Read them. And what do you make of them?
Can they just shut up and not say anything anymore?
No, this is what we got 5,500 talking head opportunities, including the Dome Patrol podcast.
Can't they? I'll like, just say no comment.
Well, then that's nobody wants to hear that. Also, there's a part of me that looks at what he said and he's like, he was as respectful as he could be, but also he defended himself.
Kind of talk about,
I mean, if Michael Thomas wants to complain about it almost sounds like Michael Thomas is accusing Derek Carr of intentionally doing these things, and Derek Carr is like, no, I'm not doing it on purpose.
No, I'm just bad.
I think the one kind of to me stupid thing that Derek Carr says, he's basically implying that Michael Thomas was jealous of Chris Olave being a decent receiver. I think a lot of people, when we had drafted somebody like Chris Olave, a lot of people were like, how's Michael? But the actual way that he played with him, Michael Thomas was very supportive of Chris Olave, said great things about him in the media, supported him in the locker room, actually stood up for him when Derek Carr yelled at him. So it was kind of weird for Derek Carr to listen to, one, offend a former teammate, Michael Thomas, as he leaves, but it's also a little bit offensive. Like, why throw Chris Olave's name in this right now? Like, I'm sure Chris Olave's not appreciating that. Now Chris Olave needs to come out and go, me and Michael Thomas have a great relationship. He's been a great mentor. I was hoping to play many years with him. Like, he's not jealous of me at all. He's part of my success is because Michael Thomas has, you know, been a professional and taught me and been a great veteran. Like, why do we need to keep doing this? Like, it's just, it's senseless for any of them.
Creating drama where there didn't need to be drama, really.
Classic Saints. I mean, that's what the Saints right?
The Michael Thomas thing was always going to end the way it's ended because he can't keep his thoughts to himself on Twitter, which, you know, it's his prerogative. He can do that. But it was always going to go like that, wasn't it?
Well, Derek Carr started off right. He said, I probably didn't throw the best ball. Like, he started off, and then he kind of just got weird with the way the words he was using. And then he brought up Chris Olave. So just about Chris becoming the number one guy. Like, it just didn't make any sense. And then he says, and I can see where frustration starts to build. Well, no, like, you threw balls that got him injured and you made the team not as competitive as it was supposed to be. Like, he wasn't frustrated about Chris Olave. He was frustrated because the person he pined for and verbally asked to be part of this team and publicly asked to be part of this team wasn't good and was a whole lot of talk.
I mean, let's be honest, it's probably not the last we're going to hear of Michael Thomas on the subject. He's gonna say more when he's officially
released,
moved on, released, traded, whatever it is that we're going to do to him.
And I think it's time.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
no hard feelings, you know, as a fan, no hard feelings. But also, like, we need that spot to be occupied by somebody who can play 17.
Well, this is just like that thing where we're constantly notice where, like, something happens that the fans are going to be like 100% behind you and going to support you, and then you just take it too far and say, do something stupid. I mean, it's kind of, again, the last game of the year, Dennis Allen had a chance to, like, actually was winning fans back, and then he sits there and apologizes to Arthur Smith, and everybody's like, you know what, like, please fire this person for this, regardless of us winning, you know, multiple games at the end of the year. And then I don't know if Carr ever had that chance, but it's just, he at least could have won back a few fans by just being like, listen, I'm not going to talk about this. Like, I mean, I could have played better, whether Michael Thomas is here next year or not. Like, I need to play better. And you know, Michael Thomas has been a great New Orleans Saint. And then shut up. But then,
see, that's Drew Brees's way, right? That's Brees. Brees was the guy who could speak without saying anything. The politician mindset, right? He can use a bunch of words. He'll answer your question. By the end of it, he never actually said anything. And I'll be honest, like, but toward the end of his career, like, I got tired of listening to him talk because you knew it was going to be nothing of substance. Whereas Derek Carr, a little bit younger, they have that generation where they might need to have the last word. So, and Derek Carr is the kind of guy who apparently speaks without thinking first. And that's probably what gets him in trouble in the locker room.
That actually makes him a great New Orleans Saint. Right. Nowadays,
right? Because Michael Thomas do too.
We also don't know that Derek Carr is very smart either. So,
period.
I mean, kind of goes in there.
Yeah, I think if anything, like, he's ego. Like, he's got that ego, which you want. I mean, all great quarterbacks have an ego. I mean,
great players have to have.
You have to have that kind of a right alpha mentality.
To be fair about Drew Brees, he was incredibly smart at football. Outside of football, he's been pretty stupid with most of the things he's done. So I get what you're saying, Jeff, but he may have just not been smart enough to answer the questions. I mean, he's made terrible business decision after terrible business decision.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Name three.
You fuck one bad diamond purchase.
Right. One diamond purchase. That's it. The other one.
He had a fucking gambling company fake his death and put it on social media in one of the stupidest advertising things there's ever been.
Okay, right. That's two strikes. That's only two strikes.
Walk-ons is closing locations across the country by trying to expand too quickly.
Right. You can't say that.
They've closed two locations in Dallas, Fort Worth.
He's not involved in all of walk-ons.
The guy has got his money back from that investment. That was a good investment. It lasted 10+ years. He's fine.
There's one more that you're all forgetting.
I mean, he just opened a new slider spot right in Metairie. It's longer lines than Chick-fil-A now.
There's one more that you're forgetting.
Strike three, he's out.
Pickleball is pointless.
When pickleball is growing,
it's the fastest growing sport on the planet.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah,
well, anything could be the fastest growing. That doesn't make it the best.
It doesn't. Pickleball sounds like one thing
can be the fastest growing.
Well, but there you're going from zero up. You can grow really fast in the beginning.
Pickleball is kind of like a perfect British sport. It's like an easier tennis, and you could drink your tea.
He should have publicly supported whoever did his hair, because that was the best decision he's made.
I would have.
Yes,
right. I think he went to the same guy Jordan Spieth went to.
I'm just saying.
Love Drew Brees. Great, great parent. Great at football. Not know if he's a good decision maker outside of those two things.
But also, I think great public speaker. If you're looking for somebody who, like, a politician type. Or a corporate type who can sit up there at the podium, take any question, give a bunch of words out there, make you think he's answered the question,
but in reality, he gave you nothing.
Now wait just a minute.
Except when it comes to the national anthem.
Correct. Except for social issues.
Right.
Well, everybody's got their one kryptonite. Andrew
comes back. He comes back 2 weeks later. He's like, "What I meant to say was no comments."
I'm convinced that, like, Drew Brees invested a lot of time in early life in, like, speaking classes. Whether it's like the Roaster Friars Toastmasters or something, and
it's called Toastmasters.
Yeah, I got there.
That sounds like an infomercial product.
It's Wingmasters.
Wingmaster.
Sounds like a reality TV show where people just cook toast.
Well, the Comedy Central roasts, right?
It doesn't You're thinking really of the Roastmaster General, the Friars Club.
The Friars Club, yeah. All right. Anything else y'all got? I mean, I got the other comment about Jameis Winston saying that his ideal place to play is Atlanta because he grew up close to there, and he thinks that that's what the city needs is somebody like him.
I mean, I am going to miss having him on the team and in the locker room because he's a fun guy to have around and have on your team.
But him being there might have been part of the problem. Not that he was the problem, but the fact that you have this great leader next to Derek Carr, and there was creating, like, the dividing the locker room, the guys that were like, I'm a Jameis guy.
But that's like the old, like, Tim Tebow excuse of don't even have him on your team because as soon as your quarterback throws an interception, they want the other guy.
Yeah.
I mean, Derek Carr was legitimately bad.
So you understand what I'm saying then.
I understand what you're saying. It also shows it points to poor leadership on the coach's part. If they're just so willing to not, if they don't want him around because he makes Derek Carr look bad, then that's
Derek Carr should just be better with his $150 million contract.
It's not that he makes Derek Carr look bad. It's that it's not even on the field productivity because they had similar productivity. It's the presence in the locker room that there are guys who like him better. And you are committed and locked into Derek Carr. There's no changing that. So, yeah, I'm not saying they made the right choice in doing what they did, but we are in this situation. So you need to let your number two guy go.
You don't, why?
Because there's no fucking way he's playing.
He's not playing wherever else he goes.
Derek Carr can throw 17 interceptions, zero touchdowns, run the ball backwards, drive a safety, tell Dennis Allen to go fuck himself. Drive backwards for a safety, and they'll still keep him in the game.
That's all right. It all makes sense. He could do all those things and still quarterback. You're right.
Right. So don't have Jameis. So the reason you think having Jameis is because, but there's a possibility that he can come in and fix the situation. No, there's not that possibility. It's not real.
Well, no, it would be.
So he's in the locker room creating a divide because people are wanting to follow him, and the coaches will never let him be followed. So
one coach. Don't say coaches. One coach.
Okay. Well, the one that makes the decision.
But that's a bad decision.
Aha. So you're in the situation. And you got to let the guy who's never going to play go. I mean,
if he goes,
and then he goes to Atlanta, and we pick him off five times.
Well, if he goes somewhere where he has a legitimate chance to start, I completely understand it, and I don't.
Which is Atlanta.
Well, yeah.
I guarantee you, all these Saints fans, y'all love him so much. The day he signs with Atlanta, he's gonna be public enemy number one again.
That's the way it goes. I mean.
In the past, maybe, but I think in this particular situation, there's going to, until Dennis Allen is fired, there are going to be Saints fans still being Jameis Winston, Michael Thomas, Sean Payton, like fans of the people leaving, just going like, oh, that's the guy that stood up to DA, like, and he would still be here if we had just fired Dennis Allen. Like, there's going to be people that are temporarily siding with those players over the organization, since the organization is siding with Dennis Allen.
Right.
Unless he went to it. Unless they went to Atlanta.
Atlanta's probably is the one that's like tough. Right. I don't see him going there because I think that they're going to keep Ritter and they're also going to bring in somebody. I think they're going to get Justin Fields or trade up for a top five pick. Justin Fields makes way too much sense for them. As little sense as Justin Fields could make for most teams, he makes great sense for them.
But I could also see why, hey, look, if I'm just going to be a backup anywhere, I mean, yeah, New Orleans is fun, but we just had another pipe break the other day and it flooded because it rained hard. It's like I get it. Like, who the fuck wants to come to New Orleans?
If the
pay was close enough and I could live somewhere else other than New Orleans, I'd probably live somewhere else.
Well, that's why none of the players live in New Orleans, right?
Well,
you mean
if you were a player, because you have a job that you could get anywhere in the country and make just as much or more money.
Yeah, it's fun here.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. You mean somebody else, not you.
I have friends in right. right, not me personally.
Yeah,
right.
Like I,
but a friend of mine,
New Orleans. Right?
Yeah, Veronica Vaughn.
Right.
But no, I mean, hey, like. Jameis, as much as just about everybody as Saints fans just hated him coming here, like he was one of those guys, like he was right under Cam Newton and Steve Smith as far as just.
Yeah. And then
people,
then
people
they
love
him.
To make fun
fell
of
in
him.
Love with him.
And we all love to make fun of him. And now we all love him.
It is the crab legs, the interceptions.
You spend enough time around him. That's an impossible guy to not just have some affection for about. He's a damn good hang. I don't care if like you're just talking about like we're going to four people that are coming to dinner and we're just going to have a blast. Jameis Winston, you're going to have fun the entire time.
I remember the first time he spoke, we were all impressed and we were like, this is a guy I want to follow. Well, most of us were impressed.
Most of the people who comment on this.
So final thoughts.
I'll give a final thought. So Jeff and I actually went to the quarter this past weekend on Friday. First time I've been to the quarter. In a long time, and
probably
it was
since
night,
the Saints won the Super Bowl, huh?
And it might have been, and it was early, early carnival season, so it's not like this weekend's going to be a madhouse. I would never go to the quarter this weekend, but you know, we went, we had a good time, we went out, went to a bunch of bars, didn't do anything too crazy, got home at like midnight, but like the next day, and I'm like, fuck, like I felt worn out. I mean, I was home by 12:30.
Worn out from walking up and down the street.
And I mean, I drank a decent amount, not crazy. I wasn't hammered, but just even just what you think is an easygoing night in the quarter, and you're like, I mean, granted, I'm also 45, but
can we get a number? What was your high point number?
I probably got up to like a six. Like I felt good.
Yeah, five, six. Yeah, we weren't. We didn't get belligerent or crazy.
No, we were cool.
We were having a good time.
We were having a good time. We walked all the way down to Lafitte's and then came all the way back, ended up at Pato's for a bit. And we left right as the younger crowd was moving in and they changed the piano players. And
Jeff, did you have a purple drink?
No.
He had a pink
I did one. Have the, I got the daiquiri and the fleur-de-lis shaped bone.
Yeah, just a quick one from me on a very similar subject to what Jason was saying there. We had a bit of an impromptu meetup of UK Saints fans at the weekend in Manchester.
Yeah.
There's a group of us that were all going to be in the same city at the same time, so we all met up. So, a big thank you to Alex, Mike, Charlie, Ollie, Chris, Vedran, and Sam.
And don't forget Lil Snatch.
Was at least an eight by the time I got home. So a good night was had by all, and good to catch up with some of my fellow UK Saints fans, who some I haven't seen since our epic night in the ninth ward.
Oh wow!
Did you feel worn out the next morning?
Oh, I was dead.
Oh, yeah, at some point y'all started whipping out the old fashions, and I'm like, oh, now the party has started.
Yes, that was we went to a place called the Whiskey Jar in Manchester, and I went straight to bars. I will have an old fashioned, please. And it was a good night. Good to see them.
Looked good fun. See good them. Picks. Wesley, final thoughts.
Yeah, man. Rest in peace to Carl Weathers. Big part of my childhood with obviously
now what was he late, in?
Later on being Chubbs and Happy Gilmore, but always gonna be Apollo Creed and Dylan from Predator. So pretty incredible with the way he made being in Sylvester Stallone and a huge Arnold Schwarzenegger movie and being the second lead in both of them. is pretty awesome. But huge part of my childhood and stuff. And so it sucks to lose Carl Weathers. Smaller note, Toby Keith also died this week. And so he was a big
I did not hear that.
Yeah, that was stomach
was
cancer.
That stomach young? Cancer. Yeah. 62.
62. You didn't think he was 62, did you?
I didn't think he was 62, no.
But on Carl Weathers, I had no idea he was from here and went to St. Aug. No idea.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Did not know that.
Right? Wow. Like, how do I not know that?
Yeah. Huh. So what are they going to do with the Mandalorian?
He actually played for the Raiders.
Get out.
He went to San Diego State and played for the Raiders.
They need to do a biopic on him.
I mean, his dream was to be an actor, so he retired from football in 1974. He wanted to be an actor. He's 26 years old, and I mean,
like O.J. Simpson, except
without all the
murder
part.
Less murdery,
right? Less murder.
Well, allegedly,
allegedly,
that's ignorant.
It was a crazy thing because when they were doing the Rocky movie, they wanted Ken Norton. The linebacker from played with a few different teams. Then his son Ken Norton Jr. was a good linebacker, but they wanted him to play Apollo Creed. Like really, really, really tried to get him to become an actor and play Apollo Creed. And this came, I mean, Carl Weathers kind of kicked down the door, and they became that part. Obviously, that was enormous.
Ken
part.
Norton was a boxer too, no?
Correct.
Yeah,
Ken Norton Jr. was the linebacker.
Okay. Was the linebacker, yeah. 49ers, yeah. Cowboys.
And a coach, too.
Oh, they wanted Ken Norton Jr. to play because his dad was Ken Norton Sr.
No, Ken Norton.
This isn't the 70s.
Jeff.
Ken Norton,
Jeff,
the boxer.
Jeff, you're Derek Carr and Michael Thomas. Just be quiet.
No comment.
No, yeah, there you go. Oh, you say, oh, that's interesting.
Oh, that's interesting.
But still pretty incredible. Like, we're always going to have the Arnold Schwarzenegger, Carl Weathers meme of the arm wrestling in the air thing. Yeah. And then obviously, great death in Predator of him getting both arms blown off. You just can't really beat that.
All right. That's all. Anything? Anybody got anything else? Or are we
just less out? Said about his death in Rocky IV, because that still hurts me to this day.
Yeah, it stinks. Yeah.
After having said all that, I'll just say that if he dies, he dies.
Oh, that's a good way to end it. That is all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Follow us on socials. Just search for Dome Patrol podcast. And don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. Give each episode a 5-star rating. Give it a comment. Set up auto downloads so that you can listen to the Dome Patrol podcast anytime, anywhere. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, grief cargo donkeys.
The Dome Patrol podcast is the official Saints podcast of the Fans First Sports Network.